Brother Aaron Moser as he brings us a message tonight.
Thank you, Adam.
We got one mic tonight. We got to let me get set up here.
Well, I greet you all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and I welcome you here this evening, and all those who are live streaming or who may be listening later on. I wish you well. So, as you can see from my screen, the title is From the Heart. And I'm going to talk about, you know, our heart tonight and what comes out of it, what goes into it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, talk about the heart. If you look on, you know, conventional wisdom and philosophical, you know, people talk about your heart, where your heart lies and what your heart does and to follow your heart. There's lots of different things that come from the heart. So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. So what does it mean? You know, from the heart. It's a strange idiom, you know, because the heart literally is just a four-chambered pump. That's what the heart is. It just pumps your blood around, right? So when we're talking about from the heart, we're not really talking about actually, you know, from our pump. You know, we're talking more like it's from our emotions, right? And really it's kind of in our mind and our brain, but it's the emotional side that all people have, right? And so when we say it's, you know, from the heart, it's usually a deep and sincere type of feeling, an emotional feeling, right? You know, the heart, it's regarded as our, you know, emotional center. It's where our real desires, our real intentions are kept within us. We store those things in the heart, you know? And people can often tell. If we act sincerely, we act from this emotion, people can see it. They recognize when we are truly into something. They recognize when we are truly meaning something. You know, people can feel that. You know, it's there's a difference. You know, like if you go to and volunteer for something, it's probably because you have a heart for it. You know, you don't get paid for it. You don't get compensated for your time. But if you go volunteer to help people in some way, shape, or form, you know, there's always got Habitat for Humanity. People go around, they build. You know, they volunteer their time to build houses for people. You know, they volunteer down at the soup kitchen or something like that to volunteer to help serve others. You know, you don't get paid for that. Now, if you go to court, sometimes they'll order you to do community service. You can go to all those same places and do community service, but when you're compelled to do it, well, people can tell oftentimes if you're compelled to do something, and you know, because your heart may not be in it if you're compelled to do something. You know? So people can see in your actions and in your words and how you display yourself and how you present yourself and how you approach a task, you know, if your heart is truly in it, or if it's just something that you're going through the motions or something that you're just doing to get through. You know, you can also maybe describe this kind of as enthusiasm, right? If we are enthused about something, we'll attack it, go after it, research it, look at it, you know, think about it, you know, it's a, you know, that's kind of what from the heart means. You know, if it's something from the heart, it means that, you know, we value whatever it is that we're approaching. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about. See, I'm not talking about your physical actual heart, but you know, when I say from the heart, because the Bible, Book of Mormon, they both talk about the heart, you know, and again, it's not talking about the pump that's going in your chest. It's talking about, you know, these emotions that you have, the spiritual side, and where that leads us, and where that takes us. And so that's what I'm talking about this evening when I say from the heart, you know, something that you hold near and dear to you. So, have you heard the phrase, follow your heart? I have. There's a lot of people out there that will tell you, you know, you should follow your heart. And the reason being, there's a lot of perceived benefits to following your heart, right? If you follow your heart, you can seem like you're very adventurous, you know, spur of the moment, take off, go do something. It's outgoing, it's rewarding. It can be seen as something that's very bold. You know, I don't care what other people think about me. I'm going to go out and do what I've always dreamed of doing. And a lot of people envy that, you know? So it can be kind of this adventurous type of attitude. Throw cares to the wind, leave, walk off a job, whatever it is. You know, people will do things and they'll, and just, hey, I don't feel like this is how I want to be right now. And so in that moment, my action is going to be decided by this feeling that I have. You know, it adds this sort of zest, this appeal to life.
Now that rational thinking really can't do for us, right? We think everything out, kind of can take some of the fun out of things, you know? And if you don't have a heart, kind of be seen as cold, calculating, right? That's not necessarily a positive thing if you don't have a heart for something. You know, it's just a matter of motions and a matter of calculations. You know, that's just not very engaging for other people. You know, people follow heart. They follow, you know, these emotions that other people, well, you can inspire others to go out and do. You know, if your heart is in something, you can teach people, you can guide people, you know, with the heart. Now, there's also following your mind or your intellect, right? Following a rational line of thinking. That's seen as very stable. It's predictable. It's constant. If you're an employer, this is the kind of employee you want, right? Someone is going to show up to work on time. Someone is going to do their work and produce and be constant and reliable, right? That's kind of what an employer would want. You know, there's a positive to that. You know, all your actions, we think through these things, they're rational. If I just tell you why I did something, I can describe it and lay out the steps for you as to why I did something. You know, give us a solid foundation, right? So when we come across life's problems, we have something to go on. If we have a guiding set of principles, right? I go by this, you know, I do what the teachings of the Bible tell me. I do what the teachings of the Book of Mormon. I follow the laws of the land. I follow the ethics and code of conduct that my employer gives me, you know, and we can navigate choices and it can be kind of easy to rely on something else, right? Because it has a guiding set of principles. If we don't have rational thoughts, though, if we don't have a rational thought, we are just random, right? That's kind of a, you know, hey, how I feel in the moment, I take off, I go over here, I change over here. In this situation, I'll deal with this way. Tomorrow, I feel differently, I'll deal with this way, right? It's kind of this wishy-washy thing. You know, following your mind. Following your heart, following your mind. And that's kind of how these things get presented. It's either you are either one or you are the other. You know? So is there a right side? Should we be in one or should we be in the other? Should we favor our emotions or should we favor our intellect? And I'm sure there's many people, all of us are different. One of us might be able to identify one a little easier than the other. And that happens. You know, we might lean towards one more than the other, and that's fine. Because God created in us a heart, and he created in us a mind. And so I honestly think that kind of the question that, you know, the way it gets posed is like you need to live this one way or live this other way is really neither of those are a complete answer. If God gave me a heart and he gave me a mind, he probably wants me to use them both, right? So what do the scriptures say? If we go into Matthew in the 15th chapter, this is Christ. And preceding this particular scripture, his disciples were going around, you know, and they were with him, and people were watching Jesus, and they were watching his disciples. And when his disciples would do something that was outside the law or something they didn't like, they would ask Jesus about it. Hey, your followers aren't doing this thing. In this particular case, his disciples were eating, and they didn't wash their hands. And that was against the law of Moses, right? Against the Mosaic law, saying you had to wash your hands before you ate, and they didn't eat. And so these Pharisees were coming to him, hey, they broke the law. You tell us why they're breaking the law. They didn't wash their hands first. You know, they are defiling themselves, was the statement that was made. Why do you allow these men who follow you to do this? And this is Jesus' reply. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so what he's saying is, like, you are looking at the letter of the law. You know, and I gave this law for a purpose and for an intent. And you're missing the point. You know, your hearts are bent on following the letter of this law. And they are not close to me at all. You're looking, you're trying to catch people and trip them up and subdue them with the law and use it as a taskmaster over them. You know, that's not what it was for. It's not why it was brought. That's how you're using it. And it tells me something about your heart. We skip down to verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Well, Jesus tells him, it doesn't, you know, washing, if you don't fail to wash your hands, that's not what I'm looking at. It's not what God is judging, if you wash your hands or not before you eat. What he's looking at is what comes out. What's coming out of your heart and coming through your mouth? What are you telling people? What are you looking? What do you hold dear that you present out to the world? Because what you're doing, you're tripping people up. You are defiling yourselves. Yes, you are following all the laws as they are written, but your heart is nowhere near me. And you are, even though you're all clean, and you look right, and you do right, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're not doing it because you love me. You're doing it for power, for glory on this earth. And your heart is nowhere near where it's supposed to be. And you are the ones who are defiled. You are the ones that are unclean. So that's what he's telling them. Your heart is in the wrong place. If we go over into Helaman in the fifth chapter. You do not remember the Lord your God and the things which he hath blessed you, but you do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them. Yea, your hearts are not drawn out unto the Lord, but they do swell with great pride, unto boasting, unto great swelling, envyings, stripes, malice, persecutions, murders, and all manner of iniquities. And so again, this is what Helaman's telling him. It's like, you're looking at the wrong thing. You know, you've been blessed greatly, and you enjoy great wealth, but that's what you're focused on. You know, you're looking at the blessing and not the one who gave it. Your heart isn't to the Lord as it should be. It's on all this other stuff. You know, all these things that you've put in your life and you're holding up, that's what's in your heart. And because of that, there's all these other things that have entered in. You know, this doesn't sound like a very happy people. If there's envying and strife, you know, they're fighting amongst each other. There's malice. It's kind of a fancy word for anger, right? They're angry with one another, persecuting. They're making fun of one another. They're putting each other down. They're murdering one another. This does not sound like a happy people. And they're following their heart. Their heart has been, they've been put all these things inside their heart. And they're boasting about it. And they're forgetting their God. So it's not, oh, I got one more here. If we go into Mark in the sixth chapter, again, this is Christ. And here in this particular verse of scripture, Christ has just done a miracle. He has gone out and there were all these people that were following him and they followed him and all these people came from all over the place because they were hearing about the miracles that he was doing and the words that he was preaching, and they came to listen to him. They went to see him, and they wanted to see these miracles, and they wanted to have their illnesses taken away. And so it gets to be too much for all the disciples, you know. And so he says, hey, you guys get on this boat and take off. But right before this, he fed 5,000 of them. He had the two loaves, the five loaves and the two fishes. And he fed them all. And a great miracle. And it said after they were done, they had baskets of food left over. So he performed this miracle where he fed all these people. And the disciples saw that. And then it was too much and they were too tired. They couldn't handle it. So Jesus tells them, all right, get in the boat. Go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. So they're on the boat. They're going across. And then Jesus, he says he went into a mountain to pray. And then he came out and he met them. And this is where he was walking on the water. It says in verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of loaves, for their heart was hardened. And so that tells me something about our hearts, right? They have to be in the right condition. if we have, it talks about a hardened heart all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Book of Mormon. You look in Genesis, or excuse me, the Exodus, and it talks about Pharaoh, and his heart was hardened over and over again. He was admonished by Moses, and he was punished by the Lord in varying degrees, and his heart was so hard, he just couldn't. He couldn't comprehend what was happening. He couldn't see all these great miracles and these great pestilences that were coming down and were God-given. He just couldn't, he wouldn't see it, you know. And it's, and these disciples were acting the same way. They had just witnessed this wonderful miracle, but their heart was hard. And they couldn't comprehend what was going on. You know, so it tells me that your heart needs to be in the right condition. Because if it's not, it doesn't matter what's displayed in front of you. It doesn't matter what miracle you see. It doesn't matter what happens. If your heart is hardened, you can have Christ in front of you and still not comprehend. So we have to have the right condition. We have to have the right mix. We have to have the right balance. I thought this is a pretty interesting picture. I don't know if it's actually real or not, but it looks like it. But this is balance, right? So if we have an intellect and we have a heart, they're God-given. We are created to feel emotion. We're created to think. We have to have balance. And there's all sorts of number of ways you could probably balance these rocks. You know, heavier rocks on one side, lighter rocks on the other. But if you space them out appropriately, you can get balance, you know, on these little round rocks. And you can get something that's stable as long as there's balance. As long as we have these things in the right proportion. We have to have a heart. We have to have an intellect and a mind. They're God-given. He gave them both for a reason. So, who likes cake? Everybody like cake? Everybody likes cake. A lot of people like cake. Who's made a cake? Some hands go up. Yeah, so, just like our balance, what does it take to make a good cake? Everything's got to be in the right proportion, right? If I use too much flour, it's not going to turn out right. If I take away the eggs, it's not going to turn out right. If I use too much salt, too much baking powder, it's not going to turn out right. You know, everything has got to be balanced. And that doesn't mean we're all the same either. You know, some of us, our balance is a little different. Some of us might be a vanilla cake, and that's okay. Some of us might be a chocolate cake, and that's okay. Some of us might be a multi-layered, multi-flavored type of cake, and that's okay. You know, God has given each and every one of us different measures, different skills, different abilities, different intellect, different emotions. But it's up to us to bring those into balance so that we can present something that is good. So we can go before Him and go before others and say, here's what I have to offer. Here's how I can help. Here is where I am wise. Here is where my strengths are. And we can present something that's good. But it has to be in balance. We have to have the balance of an intellect and the balance of our heart. So I don't think that we should be in either one or the other. You know, we can't be cold and calculated. We can't be completely irrational and flippant. We've got to be somewhere where there's balance. Because when we're balanced, we can present something that's good, that's desirable. You know, God wants us to have balance. He wants us. His desire is for us to be something that's good for others, good for Him. That is what He wants. There's all different variations on it, but it all requires a balance. We've got to have a heart. We've got to have an intellect. We can't rely on one or the other. We have to blend them. So what do the scriptures say about that? Proverbs has a lot of scriptures about wisdom and the heart. Proverbs 4:23. It's probably one of the most important scriptures I'll read tonight. It's, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. So what that word keep, you really, it could be translated guard. You can guard your heart, right? Which means I have permission and ability for things to enter into my heart. I can keep things in my heart. I can keep things out of my heart. It's up to me. What comes in? What goes out? With all diligence. That phrase right there has an urgency to it, right? Because why? Everything we do comes from our heart. All the issues of life. We're going to have an opinion on one thing or another. And our heart is going to give us that drive. It's going to give us that zeal to attack something or to retreat from something. So we have to guard our heart, protect what goes in, protect what comes out. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, you can look and you can watch people and you can see. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, that have broken spirit. You know, they don't look very happy. They look stressed, depressed. They look sad. You can see it. That's their heart is speaking to you. And they're carrying themselves. And you can also see those people that are upbeat. People that are happy. People that are satisfied. People that have joy because they carry it. It comes out of their heart. It's like a window into their life. And you can see it. Now, sometimes we're not always cheerful. We have sad things that happen to us, and that's normal. We're going to have loss. We're going to have stressful situations. You know, that happens. And when that happens to us, people can see it. So if you see someone who's sorrowful, do you try and bring them joy? Do you try and mourn with them? Because that's what we're asked to do. It's this window. It's this tell. What are people telling you? Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, much like the other one before. You know, we can help people that are sad. We can spread joy. Or we can have dry bones. People with dry bones, they break easy. You know, they don't hold up. But medicine, you know, being cheerful, being happy, it does good to our heart, does good to our soul. Spreading joy. Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. It's kind of a strange way of saying it, but you know, it's like when you look into a mirror. You know, that mirror tells you exactly what you look like. And so your heart tells other people what you look like, what your soul looks like, what your spirit looks like. You know, it's on display for all to see. Your heart is out there. And so you need to guard it. You need to protect it. Make sure that what comes in is righteous. What comes out is righteous. You need to guard your heart against bitterness, against wrath, against malice. And don't let those things in, because when they get in, they can fester. You know, when you look at people that have committed just heinous acts, crimes against humanity, now, did they start off that way? No, there was some point in time, somewhere where they let their emotions accept. They let their heart accept an emotion that was just a little seed. And they let that grow and they nurtured it. And by the end of their life, or by when they're caught or whenever they're deposed, you know, they're committing horrible things because it started small. Started with just allowing their heart open to something that should not have been. And they allowed it to stay there. So guard your heart. Keep your heart. Because it's on display. And all that we do Going back to the scriptures again, Matthew 27. Again, these Pharisees are tempting him. They're trying to get him to say things. And they ask him this question, trying to trip him up. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's what he tells us, with all your heart, with all your pure emotion, you need to love your God so that you think on him daily. When you wake up in the morning, you're thinking on him. When you walk through your day, you're thinking on him. When you go to bed at night, you're thinking on him. All your heart, not part of your heart, not a section, all your heart. We're supposed to be drawn out with him in prayer at all times. Thinking on him at all times, no matter where we find ourselves. That's where, you know, God wants this balance. Hey, sweetie. My niece is acting cute. Pure heart. But that's what he's asking for, pure heart. That's why Christ, he loved the children. He said, of such is the kingdom of heaven, because they had a pure heart within them. That's what he wants. That's what he wants of us, is this pure heart. That's what he's asking. He wants us to have a heart. He wants us to have these emotions. He wants us to be drawn out, to have a zeal, an enthusiasm for him. He's commanding it. And it's not always easy. You know, again, we have to guard, and we have to allow things in and allow things out. And it can be a struggle. We have this natural man, this natural desire, this inclination to go and do things that are against the Word of God. We've got to daily fight these things off sometimes. Nephi understood what this fight was. He lamented in 2 Nephi in the third chapter. I'm going to start in the 42nd verse. And he's telling about all the things that he'd seen. And all the great wonders that he'd seen. All the miracles that he'd seen. And the protection God had given on their journey from the old world to the new. Oh then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men have visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep? And my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, my flesh waste away, my strength slacken because of mine afflictions. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath place in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart. Cry unto the Lord and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. And so Nephi is telling his heart what to do. You know, other things get in. Satan tries to throw these things in at us. He's telling his heart, no. Look at what God has done for you. Look at where you've been protected. Look at where you've been saved. And rejoice. You can't let what other people do into your heart, because it's only going to make you angry. It's going to suck away your strength. If you're looking at everyone else, and you look at all the evil in the world, you look at people that aren't doing their job, and people that aren't doing the right thing, And when you look at all the bad, what's coming in to your heart? You've got to look for the good. You've got to bring the good. You've got to bring it into your heart. And you tell your heart what to dwell on. You tell your heart where to go. You tell your heart what to let out. You know, you've got to break that natural heart he's talking about here. Because if we do so, God gives us promise. You know, he will help us in the day of temptation. He will help us. He'll bring salvation. He has sent his Son so that we could have it. We can see it. So we have to break our natural heart. Guard our heart. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. And so your heart is like a treasure box. And you can put things in and you can take things out. But you're under control. Satan may try to break in there, but it's up to you to guard it and to keep it and to only let in that which is good, only let out that which is good. You have free will. You have the ability to resist temptation, to resist evil. You can pray to God for his strength, for his mercy. He'll pour out his blessings upon you. You can open up your heart to receive them. Thank you for your time.
Go ahead and conclude our service tonight with song number 213. If you would turn there and stand.